Psalm 119. All right, good. Psalm 119, the Hebrew letter Cheth. We are working on verses 57 through 64. So if you would stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, please, if you are physically able. We are at Psalm 119, verses 57 through 64, and we will read them all together. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. The Word of God has got to become wonderful to us. If we're going to have any semblance of success in our lives, we've got to have this book as that foundation, as that driving force, as that vessel of amazement to us and in us and through us. This book has got to inspire you. This book has got to take hold of you. It has to be in you and what you're all about, the Word of God. I hope that you've noticed some of the key things that the psalmist has said so far, and we have gone through 59 verses of this scripture already. You say, how many are there? 176. It's okay, we only have a few more to go. Not a problem. But can I tell you that each one has a unique attribute? And you say, they're just spinning their wheels and they're just saying the same things over and over again. No, not exactly. Okay? They're slightly different, to the intent to help us to see the different facets that are there for us to view and to take note of. You ever take a look at a diamond or a stone that has facets? Yeah, they're very, very interesting, aren't they? You ever take a look at a snowflake or a group of snowflakes? They say that there are no two alike. Now, I don't know what scientist has ever tried that, to catch snowflakes and look at, take a picture of each one or look at each one. But can I tell you something? That's quite interesting, isn't it? And you say, well, but this is not that interesting. I mean, there can't be that many little nuances with each of these verses. Oh, yeah? Have you looked? Just see. Because there are. And that's what is wonderful about this study. If we look at verse 60 tonight, the psalmist says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Now, I want you to think about this. Not all of these, if you will, stand alone. Although you could say that they do stand alone. But if you look back to verse 59, to what we looked at last week, it says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. So, remember we talked about how he gave some thought to the way he was going. He said, okay, well, I was going this way. I thought on my ways. I didn't like that. So I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. And then he says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. So in my mind, these go together. He was going a certain direction. He thought about the way he was going. He decided that that way was not the proper direction in life to head. So I'm going to turn my feet to thy testimonies. And then he said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. To me, these go together. Because when we do consider our ways and we do see the error of human reasoning and man's way, we look to God in His Word and see the security and steadfastness and productivity of the ways of God.
and we should make haste and not delay to keep it. God wants us not to delay. Do not prolong the time of action. Do not put off or defer to something else. Do not delay. Proceed. Go that direction. Understand your way is not the right way. Turn your feet to His testimonies and then get out of there. Yeah. I'm stuck on this word because the kids have been listening to Patch the Pirate. Don't dilly-dally. Okay? Don't loiter. Okay? Don't just stand there hanging out. Go! Go! The Christian life is an action life. It's supposed to be diligent, if you will, not slothful. And those are some of the words that we're going to point out in this opportunity. In Proverbs chapter 4, in verses 20 through 23, the Bible says, "My son, attend. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." How easy is it for the believer to have a human or carnal thought process, consider it, decide that the spiritual life is best, God's word is best, turn our feet, proceed that way, and then to get waylaid along the direction and kind of begin to turn back to that old path? Yeah. That's why Solomon said in the Proverbs, "Let them not depart from thine eyes." He said, "Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Attend. Incline, let them not depart." The psalmist said, "I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." Hey, last I checked, the devil is a thief and a liar. Yeah, last I checked, the Bible says that the devil is a thief and a liar. Remember the parable about the sower and the seed? Remember some of the seed was cast on the wayside and it got gobbled up? Yeah. What was that like? That was like that wicked one stealing the seed out of the hearts of the people. You understand? That's what he likes to do. He says, "Oh, I came to me. Ah, I shouldn't be going this way. I pondered my ways and I turned my feet to the path of God, and because I wasn't diligent and didn't go 90 to nothing down this path, there was a fog that appeared over the path. And a cloud of doubt. And oh, all of a sudden, there were three or four more paths that went this way and some that went this way. And that thief and that liar tried to get me to take a detour off the path that God wanted me to go." He does that. We have to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. "And beside this, giving all diligence, staying on target, not prolonging the time of action, proceeding, not putting off, not deferring, but going after it, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you," that's good, you've turned your feet, "be in you and abound." That's making haste and not delaying to keep His commandments. He says, "If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Listen to this. "But he that lacketh these things," if you don't add to your faith, if you don't stay on target, if you do delay, if you do not make haste, then you're going to forget these things. He said, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, if ye do not delay, if you make haste, if you do keep his commandments, he says, ye shall never fall. You see, those verses don't go together. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. The psalmist says, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Those go very well together, those two verses. I believe that that thought process was the thought process of the psalmist. John chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Now remember, how many of you have heard me talk about the woman at the well and making this supposition about the disciples? I think I taught it in Sunday school, right? Okay, now listen. That is a supposition, okay? That's my opinion. It is not written in the Word of God. But he does, in this particular portion of Scripture, strongly rebuke the disciples for not staying on course. For not staying on that path and being diligent and making haste and not delaying to keep his commandments. Did he not tell them to go preach the gospel? Did he not tell them to be witnesses? Did he not teach them and show them those things? Then he even sent them out two by two and he did all these things with their lives. And he says to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Don't delay. Don't delay. Make haste. Don't delay. There are people that are in your area of influence that need to be saved. Don't wait. Don't wait till next week. Do it tomorrow. You say, well, I can wait till the next day. Well, how long are they going to live? Do you know? No, I don't know. We cannot delay. We do not need to put things off. We do not need to defer. Unfortunately, part of my skill set and characteristics of things is to do things by the seat of my pants. Okay? Off the cuff. In other words, that's just an excuse for procrastination. Because why do today what I can do tomorrow? Right? Okay? I have to fight that really hard. We don't need to put it off. And there isn't anything better to do. There isn't another way to travel. This is God's way. These are his commandments. These are his testimonies. We need to make haste and not delay to keep his commandments. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Go over to Romans chapter 12. I think this is a good kind of a ribbon to tie onto this thought of making haste, delaying not to keep his commandments. Romans chapter 12, you understand that the verse we really know very well in this portion of Scripture is verse 1, and probably verse 2 as well. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We were very familiar with that passage of Scripture. But if you'll drop down there and take a look at verse 9. He's giving the church some idea of how to behave themselves as the church of God. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Is not this the embodiment of pondering our way and turning our feet to his way and then going at it diligently and without delay and making haste? I do think it is. He's asking us to live this way immediately, consistently, all the time. Because all of these things that are mentioned here, this loving the brother, being kind and preferring others and blessing our neighbors and not cursing people and being nice to our enemies, and all these things go against human reasoning. They're not the ways of God. They're not the ways of man. They're the ways of God. These are against what we're drawn to by the flesh. And when we turn our feet and we make haste and do not delay, we can stay focused and right in line with what God wants us to be. Go back to Psalm 119. Look at verse 61. I hear less flipping. That's good. That means that you guys are using Bible markers like me. Okay? I'm trying to get better at that. All right, look here. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. You know what? We talked about that thief and liar. What is he wanting to do? He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your abundance. He wants to steal your faith in God. He wants to take it all away from you and make it of naught. He can't steal your life because you're safe in the hand of God. But you know what? He can make you backslide. He can make you get out of the will of God. He can make you do lots of different things, and he can set you at naught. He can rob you of everything. Remember Job? Remember Job? I love the story of Job. Have I encouraged you already to read those chapters? It's long reading. It's almost textbook-like reading. It's difficult. But can I tell you something? It's an amazing story. It's exactly what this psalmist talks about. He says, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. In Job 1, verse 6 says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord, and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Just time out here. Could you imagine Job getting to heaven and asking God, God, why did you bring my name up? I was doing just fine. And you brought my... Why'd you do that to me? I'm being facetious, you understand. But that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said,
Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Now, let me ask you a question. Think about this. God brought up Job's name. The devil didn't. But once God brought up Job's name, the devil exactly knew everything about him. In other words, I think Satan tried to attack Job before. I think Satan walked around Job's life and tried to poke into this hedge and tried to poke into this hedge and tried to get around this way and affect him and tried to get it this way, but he couldn't do it. I think Satan knew exactly this man and his resume. He said, thou hast blessed the work of his hands and substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So according to what we're reading here in Psalm 119, Job's life kind of mirrors this. When it says that the bands of the wicked have robbed me. Job was robbed of his wealth. He was robbed of his children. And we know later on he was robbed of his health. And his wife even said, Job, curse God and die. But we do understand. And in verse 22 of chapter 1 it says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. The psalmist says, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. We just sang that song tonight, and thank you, Brother Camp, for being in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. Farther along. Hey, we look around. And there are people that are ungodly and wicked, and they're financially doing well. They're socially doing well. And then we look around and there are brothers and sisters in Christ that are struggling and having a hard time, and they're losing loved ones, and these others seem to prosper, and we're a little confused. Don't be confused. Trust God. Trust God. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Hey, don't forget that God is good. Don't forget that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Do not forget. Do not slight. Do not neglect. Do not lose remembrance of. Do not let go from the memory the commandments of God and the trustworthiness of his name. Hosea chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Let me read to you verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now, if you think down to verses 6 and 7, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I charge their glory into shame. Change their glory into shame. Don't forget God. Just because it doesn't seem like it's going well, don't forget that he is faithful. Don't forget that he knows the end of it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man.
That's a promise of God. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8 with me if you would. Over and over again, this is just one instance, but over and over again, the children of God were warned about their going into the promised land. They were charged over and over again about what could and might happen when they were to get into the promised land. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6. It says, therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You see, that doesn't sound like somebody stealing something from you. Oh, but it is. In your prosperity, Satan has stolen the remembrance of where we came from and who it really is that has given us what we have. Yeah, he's helped us to forget our God. Would anybody care to debate that this is not where America is? Huh? Oh yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm an American. I am glad to have served my country in the military. And listen, I love America. And that's why my heart breaks, because America has forgotten. It's been stolen away from her who we really are. And who really built this country. And who really established this nation. And who really has brought the blessings upon our land. We've forgotten. It's been stolen away. We've been robbed. We need to remember. He said that the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. We need to remember. In Deuteronomy 17:17, the Bible is talking about the kings that Israel was to have over her. It says, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. And then in 1 Kings chapter 11, it is said this of the wisest king Israel ever had. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. What a shame. Can I tell you something? These women that Solomon loved robbed him. They robbed him. so that he did not keep the commandments of God. They turned his heart. And in Deuteronomy 17, it was recorded and written down. And the king was to read it. If you go back to later on and study what it says there in Deuteronomy 17, he was supposed to read it and remember it and keep it before him. He defied what God said. He said, "Oh, I'm the wisest man. This doesn't apply to me." God warned him, "Don't take many wives to you. Don't, because it will turn your heart away from me." And it happened. It happened. Just like God said. Folks, we can't help what the wicked do, but we can help what we do in response to what the wicked do. The psalmist said that the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have a choice. I have a choice, just like Job had a choice. Job was robbed. Everything was taken from him, but he charged not God foolishly. He said, "But I have not forgotten thy law." We have a choice. We have a choice to stay true to our God. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, Paul says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Hey, don't be a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways. Don't try to serve two masters. Stay true, even though things aren't working out. Even though, like that song says, you see others prospering out there because of everything going on, and it seems like God's not paying attention to us, or God's not caring for our needs. Listen, do not fall for that. Stay true to God, even though the bands of the wicked have robbed you, but I have not forgotten thy law. Go back to Psalm 119. Let's take a look at verse. Let's end on a good note. It's been kind of tough preaching right so far to this point. That's all right. We need a little tough preaching, don't we? And do not delay and do not forget. So what will help us not to delay? What will help us not to forget? Well, the psalmist says this. At midnight. Now, I'm going to guess that perhaps some of these things troubled him, and that's why he was up at midnight. I don't know. Maybe he needed the proverbial midnight snack. I don't know. But whatever the case is at midnight, he says, "I will rise to go to the fridge." Right? No, that's in the other language. Okay. It says, "At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." Isn't it interesting? When we remember God, and we remember to give thanks unto God, all those other things kind of melt away. Yeah. And you know what? It's really hard to be mad at somebody when you're telling them thank you. It's difficult, right? Let's say you're driving down the road, and you get into a little bit of an accident that somebody else causes. Your initial reaction is to be, yes, upset. To be livid, perhaps. Right? Yeah. And you get out of your car, and you look at them, and you say, "Thank you for running into my car today." Why not? Oh, let me take you to a Bible verse. 1 Thessalonians, you heard this one? 5:18. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Ah, that preacher's spinning a verse on us. Am I? Am I? Was the psalmist concerned about the people that had robbed him? It bothered him, right? But he said, I stayed true to your commandments. He pondered his ways, and there were other things before this that happened, and such and so forth. But he says, at midnight, I will rise to complain about how bad my life is. How poorly you're treating me in my life, in my circumstances, God. I've served you with my life, and I've given you everything I have, and you've dealt treacherously with me. No. No, not at all. But he did say, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. So you go back to the situation, and you tell this person, hey, thank you for running into my car today. I really appreciate that. And they're going to look at you like, huh? And you're going to say to them, well, because you ran into my car today, I get a chance to share the gospel with you. And I wouldn't have if I hadn't run into you or you had run into me. So thank you. By the way, have you ever thought about salvation? They'll be completely dumbfounded. Right? Or you're busy doing something at home and phone rings. Now, you can't do anything with the computer people. But if it's a real person. Hi, I'm from Medical Supply Services. How are you today? Well, I'm doing well. If you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Click. But we get mad. Why are you bothering me? I don't need that. I told you no. Stop calling my number. Why don't you be thankful? Hey, thank you for calling me today. Huh? No, I don't need any knee braces or incontinence supplies. I just thought I'd throw that out there for you. The crowd was getting a little sleepy. I wanted to wake y'all up. No, I don't need any of that. But I did want to talk to you about your soul. If you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Thank you for calling me. Have you ever considered Jesus Christ? You say, you're nuts. I know I am. Isn't it great? Be thankful. An expression of gratitude, an acknowledgement made to express a sense of favor or kindness received from God Almighty. Why cannot we in everything give thanks? I'll read to you many of these psalms here. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Remember Paul and Silas? They were cast into prison. Well, here's a reference to midnight. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And can I tell you? Not only the prisoners, but the prison keeper. Because when everything shook up and everybody was loosed and he was about to kill himself, they said, hey, we're all here, don't do it. He burst in with a light and he said, basically, what must I do to be saved? It made a difference. Their attitude, their thankfulness to God. You know, our thankfulness to God makes a difference in our lives. Kind of makes all those worries melt away. He says, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock,
and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We need to learn to be thankful and to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You say, Pastor, I think you've said some of these things before. I know. And how soon we forget them. Look at verses 13 and 14. I love how Paul puts this. But we are bound. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you. In Philippians 4, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, or Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Hey, at midnight, I will arise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. You know, just a little more from the wonderful word of God. A few encouraging words for you. Not to delay, not to forget, and to give thanks. You know, God's word is wonderful. These things do work together. And it just takes a little bit of time to go through and try to connect the dots through scripture. And how wonderful this book is. And how wonderful our God